Thank God today, and this is Pastor Adams, president and founder of Truth Matters Ministries in Atlanta, Georgia. Thank God once again for another opportunity to share with you the very dynamic principles of the Word of God. And today we have, once again, a very important topic that we're going to be sharing entitled The Truth About Christian Wokeness. The Truth About Christian Wokeness. And as our custom is, before we get into our teaching today, we want to pause and pray and go before our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father God, we thank you once again for all of your manifold blessings. We give you praise, God, because we know that you are God. We give you glory because in your foreknowledge and your foreordination and your sovereignty, Lord, you declared and you proclaimed that we would be a people. We thank you, Lord God, for your synergistic approach to our living. We thank you, Lord God, that you've given us the ability to have a free will to serve you. You've given us, Lord, autonomy, Lord, to seek your face. We thank you, Lord God, that if we come unto you, you says that you will no wise cast us out. You said, for every man that seeketh findeth, everyone that asks receiveth. And Lord, we thank you today that we receive your grace. We receive your mercy. We thank you that you are a forgiver of sins. We thank you that you are a transformer of lives. We give your name glory today because you, God, you're the sovereign of the earth. And Lord God, you are in control of all things. Who is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visited him? We thank you that our great God, your angels encamp around about us. Your hedge is there. We thank you that every hair on our head is numbered. We thank you that you know our thoughts afar off. We thank you that you call us dear children. And Lord, we thank you that we are called the beloved. You bless someone today. You call someone to be saved. Let someone's heart and mind be quickened. Let someone's heart be pricked. Let the conviction of the Holy Spirit, let it rule and reign today. The Holy Ghost does its job. In Jesus' name we pray and we call it done. Amen. And we're so mindful of the words that were spoken by Patrick Fitzgerald, who was a lead prosecuting attorney in the infamous Scooty Libby trial. He says that truth is the engine of our country's justice system. And he says, without truth, he says, we don't have anything. And today in this Truth Matters podcast, we're so thankful for all of you who are listening in over 41 countries around the world. We're so thankful for all of our brothers and sisters and all of those who have inspired this ministry over the years. It's so many that we could not name them all, but we just thank God for your prayers, your support, and we pray today that this podcast would be a blessing to you. And today we're going to talk about the truth and share on the truth about Christian wokeness. Now, today we will be examining the vital principle of spiritual wokeness. So many people today are spiritually asleep, and I'm sure that you all have recognized that in our audience today. And so many are insensitive or blind to the spiritual heritage and authority and kingdom rights that so many jeopardize. It is so unfortunate that people are not aware, number one, who they are and what God ordained them to be. Our prayer today is that those listening will experience a spiritual awakening and be established in all, in every provision and right that God has ordained for your life. Now, my mind recalls occasions while just attending cultural gatherings and sharing the gospel to those who subscribe to what is now called Afrocentric consciousness. In those discussions, they contend, and there many of the thoughts or the body or the content of those interactions was that they obtained mental enlightenment, and they experienced mental enlightenment by learning of who they were and what shaped their present state. Most of those people that I would speak to in those interactions, they testified of how most of their life they were socially asleep and they were ignorant. But through gaining true knowledge of themselves, they became woke. I want you to stay with me today. Now, this derives from them studying and reading an accurate account of Black history in their estimation, and the documented facts and incidents that were hidden from most schools and curriculums and from racist social mediums such as local news agencies and educational institutions. So when considering the term woke, we find it primarily is to embrace the definition. I think it's so important that if we're going to talk about woke, we have to embrace its definition. Now, the Webster definition of social wokeness is being alert to injustice and discrimination that exists in society, especially as a result of racism. I want you to keep that in your pipe today. So 25 years ago, I committed myself to learning about my Black culture's history, and I was amazed by the number of great Black men and women of color who contributed to the world's enrichment and its social vitality. My eyes were opened to the fact that the first race of people on this planet were melanated people. Dr. Leakey, he unearthed the oldest remains of human beings. Where were they located? They were located in Africa and also in Asia. And I was awakened to the fact that the greatest kingdoms in human history were also in Africa. Egypt, that is so pronounced in God's interaction with covenant Israel in the Bible, was the most advanced civilization in human history. Listen to me. Egypt was originally known as Kemet, which meant black civilization, before it was known as Egypt. Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop from Senegal, he first documented that the pharaohs of Kemet, or Egypt, were all melanated. Now, how did he arrive at that conclusion, you might say? Well, Dr. Sheikh Anta Diop, he performed DNA analysis on all the mummy remains and concluded they were all people of color. I was awakened to the fact that the pharaoh named Ramses, spoken of in scripture, was not a Caucasian like Yul Brynner in the movie The Ten Commandments, but Ramses was a black man who descended from a line of black African pharaohs. Even in Cairo, the Sphinx was the likeness of Khafre. Who was Khafre? He was a black pharaoh of the fourth dynasty in Egypt, or Kemet. See, my eyes were open to the facts that Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, and all of those famous notable Greek philosophers, they did not have original thinking or concepts. But what did they do? They plagiarized the cerebral and philosophical concepts while they were sitting down being schooled at the feet of African intellectuals who taught Europeans about architecture, taught Europeans about medicine, mechanics, energy technology, and astronomy. See, I was blinded and I was never taught the truth in PK through 12 about the true heritage and accomplishments of the people of my heritage, which are people of color. I remember the only one history book that I was introduced to in school only mentioned George Washington Carver. And they just said, well, he introduced peanut farming. That's the only notable thing that they said black people accomplished or contributed to American society. But I began to study for myself, and I was woke to the fact that black people achieved inventions like electricity, air conditioning. Black people invented folding chairs and potato chips. Black people invented gas masks, blood banks, protective mailboxes. Black people invented security systems, ironing boards, invented electric traffic lights, elevator doors, electric microphones, and refrigerated trucks. Black people even invented color computer monitors and the tissue holder. Why didn't history books mention that black people invented the automatic gear shift and peanut butter and the clothes dryer? I never heard that black people invented the dustpan, even the golf tee, ice cream scoopers, and the modern toilets that we sit on every day. That black people invented lawn sprinklers and lawn mowers and reversible strollers. Even something as critical as paper was invented by black people. Even those who call black people ignorant and that we were dumb did not tell me that black people invented the game of chess, airplane propelling, and rotary engines, and even during warfare, torpedoes. That black people even invented syringes that are so critical in medical procedures. Horseshoes were invented by black people, coin changers, and even the train alarm, street sweepers, and even paint, lotion, and soap were invented by Black people, the very important printing press, even though they've given Johann Gutenberg was credited as the inventor of the printing press, but people of color had printing presses centuries before those in Europe. Blacks invented fishing reels, laser fuel, the pencil sharpener, rocket catapults, even the fire extinguishers, and a plethora of other inventions. See, I became woke to the facts that America became a world economic power by the free labor that slavery provided. And the billions of tons of cotton that was produced by this labor was the vast majority that fueled the entire American economy. I was awakened to the fact that there were constitutional authority that mandated that slaves only be counted as three-fifths of a man. That state and national laws supported the prohibition of people of color being educated, restricted us from reading and having autonomy to even live where we wanted to live. That even after emancipation and Reconstruction, there was never any criminal racially motivated, you know, there were many criminally motivated racially massacres that took place that were supported by governmental systems. There were no indictments of the 4,000 lynchings of Black people during Jim Crow. There was no arrest or indictments connected with Black massacres in Tulsa, Oklahoma in 1921 or in Roswell, Florida. There were no convictions or indictments in the Oconee massacre or the massacre in Elaine, Arkansas. I became awoke to the injustices of Jim Crow, the governmental support that fueled the rise of the KKK and hate groups across this country, even the government support for the destruction of Native Americans. They took the land and they killed and they exterminated 56 million indigenous people. And while taking their land, we oppose and we condemn Vladimir Putin for taking the land and killing thousands of people in Ukraine. But listen to me. Too many see the destruction of the Native Americans as merely expansionism or national progress. I was awakened to the military campaigns that designed to take millions of acres of Western land from a sovereign nation that was called Mexico. See, I was awakened to the forced segregation, keeping Black people from living in white communities, the segregation of schools and the prohibition of Blacks attending Southern Baptist, Methodist, and a multiplicity of white churches, the subjugation of Black people only being able to earn a living as servants, maids, and butlers, while they were contributing to white Americans' affluence and lifestyles. I was woke to the segregation of the armed forces, the segregation and prohibition of attending white colleges, the restrictions of Blacks being able to play sports like baseball, thus the Negro Leagues, right? The structured rejection of acquiring loans and financing from banks and Blacks being prohibited from receiving lucrative government contracts. Blacks being prohibited from voting and achieving legal representation in local or national elections. The debilitating restrictions of Blacks endured by not receiving dental and health care, housing and employment in a racist, class-conscious America. Now, many may say, hey, Pastor Adams, just pump the brakes a minute. All that's in the past. Just let all that go. The narrative is America has evolved and even passed legislation to end segregation. They've passed voting rights legislation and civil rights bills. Congress has amended the Constitution with the 13th and the 14th Amendments. Congress has passed equal opportunity laws and enforced civil liberties across the country. And that wokeness in terms like CRT and Black Lives Matter, they're like countercultural entities, and they're harmful to the detrimental to American progress, and it only infringes upon the positive direction that the country has taken. Yeah, I will admit, those legislative bills have been ratified, but only as a result of many years of protest and revolts and fighting, and people of color enduring atrocities that demanded that change take place in America. But Malcolm X once said, if you stick a knife in a man's back 9 inches and you only pull it out 6 inches, that ain't no progress. Even if you pull it all the way out, that's still not progress. The progress occurs by healing the wound, but too many Caucasian people won't even admit that there's a knife there. We are woke to the current status of America related to class and race relations. Economically, we should be woke to these facts. Yes, there are improvements. Many wonderful white Americans are standing up for equal rights and are giving, you know, their lives to support social justice. But unfortunately, data shows that American neighborhoods, churches, and schools are just as segregated today as they were in 1950. Now just chew on that for a minute. There are still dramatic disparities in financial indices. White Americans control $103 trillion of wealth in America compared to only $4.9 trillion for blacks. The average black household worth is only $279,000, where whites, their average household worth is $1.2 million. 93% of white Americans have health insurance compared to only 43% of blacks. 80% of black women are overweight compared to 28% of Caucasians. Now, truth matters today. I want you to stay buckled in. Blacks have the lowest enrollment in college, the lowest number of business ownerships, the fewest number of elected officials. Blacks currently have 70% of NFL players, but only 9% of its coaches. Blacks were last in home ownership. We lead the nation in infant death mortality rates, obesity, unemployment, voter suppression rates, stop and frisk incidents, indictments, incarcerations. You know what? It's not a pretty picture, is it? But if you surmise that these facts are the result of blacks just being lazy, they're just naturally and criminally inclined, just naturally immoral or lethargic people, then you are still asleep and you're still socially blind. But if you conclude that all of those social outcomes are the results of racism, oppression, social obstacles, exclusion versus inclusion, then I must say that you are indeed socially woke. Now, in spite of these glaring and injurious facts, too many white people in America exercise what is called unconscious racial protectionism of their higher class standing and maintain a superior status in America. Too many have locked arms with white evangelicals and weaponized and politicized social concepts to conform to their worldviews. Stances such as pro-life positions and same-sex marriage and the fear that many white Generation X and Zs are becoming woke to the racist past and present of America and will further erode their supreme position in society. So, social constructs such as CRT, BLM, and wokeness are now nothing more than political footballs that are designed to scare white voters by manipulating them into a box that, if you support any of these concepts, you are voting against God and country. Now, what a travesty when you think about it. Now, being socially woke is important, but what about being spiritually woke? Are we sleeping and blind to the spiritual verities? How can we know if we are? We just, as social wokeness, one must study the spiritual truths of who we are and what is our past and our spiritual foundation. See, there are some questions that must be answered to determine if we are spiritually blind or asleep. What are some of those questions, Pastor Adams? Well, the first question is, how did spiritual blindness take place in the world? We've already talked about social blindness, but how does spiritual blindness occur? Well, 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, "The little g, the god of this world, has blinded the minds of believers and unbelievers, so they can't see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God." Excuse me. 1 Corinthians 15:34 says, "Awake to righteousness." What does that mean? Have our sleepy blindness and ignorance of God's righteous illuminated? What are some of the dangers and ramifications of being sleep or blind? To be spiritually blind is to not see Christ, and to not see Christ is to not see God. Spiritual blindness is a grievous condition experienced by those who do not believe in God, Jesus Christ, and His Word. Those who reject Christ are the lost, but being spiritually blind, they are perishing. They choose not to accept the teachings of Christ and His authority in their lives. They are blind to the manifestations that are revealed, that God has revealed through His Word and through Jesus Christ. They are described as those who do not accept the things of the Spirit of God. They are in folly to Him, and He is not able to understand them because they are spiritually discerned. How do we determine if we are spiritually asleep or blind? Peter spoke of such people as scoffers. What is a scoffer, Pastor Adams? Those who oppose or renounce the truth, who will come in the last days with scoffing, following their own sinful desires. Those who reject Christ and His Word are spiritually blind and cannot understand the truth of the Scripture. The truth sounds foolishness to them. The Bible teaches that we must love our brother, but instead of loving, we hate other people. We hate other races. The Scripture admonishes us to abstain from lust and fleshly desires, but we revolt and we call though the Word of God archaic and prejudiced by man's contemporary standards. The Bible describes those denying God as fools in Psalms 14:1. Because of their blindness and their rejection of God and His Word, they are in a perilous, unsaved condition. Beloved, understand, without God and left to ourselves, we easily succumb to the devil's schemes. We can become so mired in the affairs of this world and its moral darkness that in the end, God can turn us over to spiritual blindness and eternal condemnation. We should be spiritually woke, that as believers, we have the Spirit of God reigning in our lives to ward off the debilitating effects of Satan's power and the world's influence. John tells us, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God abides in Him and He in God. Are we woke to the reality that Satan wars within and against us? His weapons are deceitful and their crafty schemes to make us doubt and to stumble. Yet God has provided us His powerful weapons to ward off His flaming arrow. As believers, we can overcome the evil one and remain in the light and never become spiritually blind. For in truth, Jesus has given us His wonderful promise, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Many people today, they say, how do I overcome spiritual blindness that I see being manifest in spiritual apathy? Many people gain their spiritual sight and maintain it just for a while, but then their sight becomes dim or their vision is misdirected. I want you to hear me today. They no longer have clear sight for their kingdom assignment. Say it again. They no longer have clear sight for their kingdom assignment. They become distracted and no longer walk in the light that God shines to direct their path. And they instead experience spiritual apathy, which is defined as lack of interest, lack of enthusiasm or concern. Spiritual apathy is identified with coldness or what is called depraved indifference, which can affect even the most sincere Christian at one time or another. Human emotions, being as fickle as they are, feelings of apathy or disinterest can sometimes replace the fervor we once felt for the things of God. Overcoming such apathy is necessary for continuing our walk with God. How many listening to this podcast today can confess that you are armed and you are in spiritual warfare against this attack called apathy? Are we awoke to the fact that one primary cause of spiritual apathy is called willful practice of sin in the believer's life? If I have a question today, have you invested in sin? What do I mean? Do I spend my money on the things that facilitate a sinful lifestyle? Do I buy clothes that are conducive to a socially sexual, sensuous lifestyle? Do I buy weed and illegal drugs to maintain a fast lane lifestyle of sin? Have you become disengaged from your family and friends who encourage you to walk with God? Do you no longer have a conviction when you cuss people out? When you lie like a rug? When you betray others and make your own self-interest your king? If you do, you need to initiate a spiritual sanction on your spiritual and sinful investments. Now today, I want to say as we get ready to end this podcast, there is something so important that we must understand. There is a very important thing. David sinned and he felt separated from God. As he confessed his sin to God, he prayed for God to renew a steadfast spirit within in him. He had this request: Lord, restore to me the joy of thy salvation. It's so important that we understand that as we allow God to cleanse us and to renew us, and that we can have our vision and our sight restored. But understand, beloved, you can have 20/20 vision, but if you're sitting in a dark cave, you still can't see. Your life of sin and ungodly associations can keep you in darkness. Jesus is the light of the world, and any light that is manifest in your life, it comes from God. We are commanded in 1 John 1:7 to walk in the light as he is the light. So my question is, how are you walking today? And who are you walking with? I declare it's time to walk with God. John 9 recounts when Jesus passed a man who was blind from his mother's womb and from his birth. And those standing by, they asked Jesus, they said, why was this man born blind? Was it because of the parents' sin? Jesus replied, no, it wasn't the father's sin nor the mother's sin. But this was done so that the glory of God can be made manifest in his life. And then Jesus knelt down and spit on the ground. And he made mud and instructed the blind man to put the spit-filled mud on his eyes. I want you to hear me today, beloved. To receive your spiritual sight, our Lord will ask you to obey him in some things that may seem uncomfortable and unusual. But through obedience and the power of God, this blind man, he put the spit mud on his eyes and he received his sight. Then Jesus said, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day, for when the night comes, no man can work. Why? Because we can't work or be effective while we're living in darkness. Jesus then revealed that as long as he was in the world, that he was the light of the world. When we humble ourselves and walk away from our sinful living, walk away from our rebellion against God's sovereign lordship, acknowledge that we are lost and depraved and blind, in need of a Savior who loved us so much that he died for us despite our blindness, despite our sleepness, despite our disobedience and our worldly lifestyles and deeds. So you may ask, what should I do today, Pastor Adams? And my reply is, repent! Repent! And be godly sorrow for your sins against a holy God. He will save your soul. He'll give you eternal life so you can be eternally awoke. A new right standing will be seen in Jesus Christ. Then you can truly proclaim, just like this blind man that Jesus healed. I once was blind, but now I see. This is the truth.